Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
Lincoln 102. Responding 241 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Here we are again. Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network Live. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Private Officer International, broadcasting live from Studio A at our corporate office, Rick McCann. I'm out of breath. I've been running around all week long. It has been a busy, busy week. We've already broadcasted one radio program earlier today, about 3 p.m. We were doing the LP Zone from Studio A, talking all about retail security and loss prevention, talking about the recent release yesterday, as a matter of fact, of the stats for loss prevention. More than 1,029,000 shoplifters apprehended, millions and millions of dollars recovered in stolen property, more than $7 billion in theft internally and externally from retailers, and the majority of this from just 23 companies, 23 major retailers, Walmart, Target, Sears, Macy's, so on and so forth. It's unbelievable. More than 69,000 dishonest employees apprehended in 2010. Unbelievable. One in every 33 employees are dishonest. You know, it's hard to believe. You don't know who to watch. Oh, but we did have a great show, and we're here tonight on part two of the child neglect, child abuse and neglect. Tonight is the wrap-up as we conclude our training on recognizing, reacting, and responding to child abuse. We hope that you enjoyed the first part of the show on Monday, and we've got some very informative information for you as we wrap up our show. I want to remind you, before we get into that, we got a lot going on. We really, really do, and it's been a busy, busy week and a busy day. In fact, just moments before I went on the air, I had not eaten breakfast because I was busy. Did not get to lunch because I was busy. And so shortly before we went on the air just now, I decided to go ahead and grab a bite to eat, which is, you know, a no-no in the radio business. If you are a host of a program or considering to have a program of your own, Radio 101, do not eat before the show, especially right before the show, because it will sit heavily into your stomach. And so I decided, you know, a short time ago, I would eat something quickly, have a little breakfast, actually, and now I regret that because I just want to go to sleep. Earlier today, we also talked about on our radio program this afternoon about a press release. Earlier today was issued. A number of major cities have, again, opened up cooling centers. If you are in one of the major cities and do not have conditioning or you are in a situation where you need to get into a cooler environment, many cities have opened up shelters. Check with your local American Red Cross to see if there's a cooling center nearby. And if not, just go to the mall. Just go to the mall. That's what everybody does in the summer, don't they? They just head out to the mall. It's a great excuse to be there. Oh, I'm not shopping. I'm not spending any money. I'm just here cooling off. It's so hot. So if you don't have a cooling center open in your area, just head out to your local mall. They're always nice and cool, even in the wintertime. Also want to remind you that we had a great conference call last night on the Officer Down response teams that we're forming all over the United States and around the world. And we will be having a second one tomorrow night. So if you missed the first one, well, you're in luck, because tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Daylight Savings Time, that would be like Eastern Time used to be, you can call in to our conference call and get exactly the same information that was relayed on our first one Tuesday night. The number for you to call in is area code 712-432-0800. Again, that number, area code 712-432-0800. And the PIN number that it will ask you for is 843-081. 843-081. You don't want to miss it, folks. Everyone in the private security industry, public safety, should be involved in this service, Officer Down Response Teams. We are forming teams as a benevolent service to assist security officers and public safety officers, members of our association and non-members alike, who are injured or unfortunately killed in the line of duty. Again, if you want more information, be on the conference call tomorrow, 8 p.m., Daylight Savings Time, area code 712-432-0800, and punch in PIN number 843-081. Well, tonight, like I said, we are going to be concluding our child abuse and neglect part two. We had a lot of great responses Monday night from the part one segment. It is a difficult subject to discuss, especially, you know, if you work in law enforcement or you're a paramedic, firefighter, and you've seen firsthand child abuse or maybe experienced it yourself in your younger years. It is not an easy subject to address. However, it is one that is important and we must address, because we, in public safety and security, we're going to see child abuse. We're going to come upon and be called to child neglect situations, and we need to be able to recognize, identify it, react, and respond to it. Just that simple. Also want to mention that we have a couple of pieces of legislation that we are working on. It's very important that you get behind this, that your company get behind this, your agency, your department, your client, your boss, your coworkers. Two pieces of legislation. One is making it a felony in every state to assault a security officer in the line of duty, in the performance of his duty. There are several states, including Texas, Illinois, Florida, and a few others, who have this already in effect. But we are working on legislation right now to have it passed in every state, making it a felony rather than just a little minor misdemeanor. And the second piece of legislation that is currently being written right now is it's called the Private Security Officer Protection and Safety Act, and it's to ensure that security officers are not placed in unsafe properties knowingly, being put in harm's way. If you'd like more information or you want to be involved in this, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Also, you can always co-host or be a guest on our show. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. We do have a number of great shows lined up. In fact, I believe our shows are booked for like the next 8 weeks. You know, it'll be Christmas time or something, maybe Thanksgiving. We've got shows lined up. They're stacked up. Some great shows. We have the next show will be on Armed and Dangerous, Armed Confrontations. The one after that will be on self-contained properties, HOAs that have their own police and security force, fire departments, and EMS in some situations. We'll also be doing a show about special police, security officers who are commissioned or have statutory arrest authority. We have a show on responding to rape and sexual assault situations with great guests from local police departments. We have a show on investigating, initiating, and responding to missing persons, including lost children. So lots of great shows coming up. You don't want to miss that. But if you do, the great thing about our radio program, it is always available 24/7, 365 on demand. And a lot of our listeners do listen later on after the show has been recorded. They listen while they're at work, driving home. They listen on their iPod. And so it is available to you. That's the luxury of this type of program. Again, if you want to be a guest, if you want to be a co-host, and you have a subject that you'd like to talk about, send me an email with a little outline of the subject and your background, and we will get you involved in the radio program. Send it to radio@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to be involved in the Officer Down response team, you want to be one of the responders, send us an email of interest to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. And we will get you involved. And it's really just that simple. We want you to be involved. We need as many members as possible. In many metropolitan areas, we will have multiple teams on duty to respond. So send us an email if you are interested to adminassist@privateofficer.com. We're going to swing right over into our training tonight so that we can wrap up part two, recognizing, reacting, and responding to child abuse and neglect. There are many mandatory reporters under the law, mandatory reporters of child abuse and neglect, people that by their profession must notify authorities if they suspect child abuse or neglect. Those include social workers, teachers, and other school personnel, physicians, and other healthcare workers, mental health professionals, child care providers, medical examiners or coroners, law enforcement officers. Other states include a number of other professions. And depending on where you live, your state may include your profession. I know in some states, a film processor must report if they have pictures of underage naked children or pictures that depict child abuse in any way. They have to report that to authorities. So you may be in that classification of mandatory. It's not an option. If you are an EMT, if you are an ER nurse, if you are a physician's assistant, a doctor, if you work as a mental health provider, you're required in every state, you know, to report suspected child abuse or neglect. There is no option, no in-betweens. That includes school counselors and school nurses as well in every state. In some states, other professions are included. I do not know of any state that requires security officers, per se, to be mandatory bound to report suspected child abuse or neglect. However, ethically, we need to report anything that we see. If you suspect it, if you see it, report it. I would rather report it and be wrong than not report it and be right. If we see something suspicious, if we see something out of place, if we are suspicious of circumstances that appear to be neglect or abuse, and we don't report it, that child may have no other rescuers in their area, in their life, that will report it. So it's important that we do get involved. In order to report it, we have to recognize it. And there are many, many telltale signs of child abuse. Many. Complexes, marinas, special events. We're out where children are. many of us are working at schools and colleges and elementary schools, entertainment areas, places where children and teenagers are. Child abuse and child neglect, really, it can be someone who comes from a wealthy family or a very poor family. It is no respecter of person, and we have to be looking for that. We need to be looking for the signs and symptoms. We are professional observers. The model that we have for years been told is observe and report. And this is one of those things where you can observe and you can report and make a difference. We're out in the environment. We're out there. We see it. You may not realize what it is that you're seeing. You may not recognize it. But 7,000 deaths, 5 million child abuse cases in 2009. There are four areas of child abuse. Neglect, not meeting the child's basic needs, as we went over last Monday, not giving them food, shelter, education, or medical attention, physical abuse, psychological and emotional, and sexual. Whenever you are on patrol and you are in the area of children or teenagers, keep these things in mind. Look for the behavioral changes. You may be able to save a life.
Now, depending on your state laws, you may actually have a legal requirement to report suspected abuse as a mandated reporter. This requirement often includes teachers, daycare providers, EMS workers, coaches, camp staff, as well as other professionals. Let's talk about abuse. Abuse can occur in child care centers, schools, religious institutions, recreational and athletic programs, not to exclude camps, residential facilities, and the worst part, even at home. The most predominant type of abuse would be neglect, followed by physical abuse and then sexual abuse. Neglect is something that means that despite available resources, the parent fails to provide food and clothing, shelter, supervision, or does not seek medical attention for serious illness or injury. Now, this can happen for a number of reasons, but a family crisis such as a job loss or serious illness to the caregiver or divorce. Neglect also results from chaotic households and no structure or routines, or their homes may have very little space for the child. Some indicators might be that the child looks undernourished and is usually hungry. They might be often lethargic and the child hasn't slept well. Chronically, they have injuries that you can attribute to a lack of supervision, including being harmed by other people. They might be beggars for food because of persistent hunger. They have noticeably poor hygiene. They're inappropriately dressed for the weather. Frequent accidents and injuries. They have the poor ability to relate to others. They have poor self-esteem. Maybe they have attachment difficulties or they have social problems and reduced pro-social behaviors. Maybe they have an inability to say no to inappropriate requests. So these are all different ways we can start to look at neglect and notice that there's a problem. For physical abuse, the physical abuse is any act that, regardless of the intent, results in a non-accidental physical injury to a child. It can happen when a parent is frustrated or angry and strikes, shakes, or even throws a child. Physical abuse may be something also like an intentional deliberate assault, such as burning the child, or biting or cutting, maybe even twisting of limbs. Now, all children get bumps and bruises. But it's important to recognize when those bumps and bruises may be the indication that there's physical abuse rather than just normal childhood roughhousing. But in all cases, consider the context. Take into the account the child's explanation of the injury, the child's age and behavioral changes you notice in the child. Now, some of these following signs may indicate true physical abuse. Questionable bruises and welts or other injuries on the face, around the lips and the mouth, on the torso, the back, the buttocks and the thighs, in various stages of healing. In other words, the bruises might be different colored, reflecting the shape of the object used to inflict the injury. In other words, an electric cord or belt buckle, you might be able to see that mark, consistent with human bite marks. Questionable burns, like a cigar or cigarette burns, especially on the soles, palms, and the back or buttocks. Sometimes we even see immersion burns, sock-like, glove-like burns where they've put the baby or the child into the hot water, donut-shaped burns on the buttocks or genitalia, burn patterns that are like electric stove burners where they're round and circular, or an iron, rope burns on arms and legs, necks, or torso. Questionable fractures to the skull, the nose, the face. In various stages of healing, these all could indicate physical abuse. So the questionable cuts and scrapes, either to the mouth or to the lips, the gums or the eyes, to the external genitalia, could all be indicators of that type of abuse. Some behavioral indications might be being uncomfortable with physical contact, being wary of adult contact, being apprehensive when other children cry. They may show behavioral extremes like aggression or withdrawal. They may be frightened of the parents themselves, being afraid to go home, arriving at school early or staying late, as if afraid to be at home, reporting being hurt by a parent, complaining of soreness or moving uncomfortably, wearing clothing inappropriate to the weather to cover the body, chronically running away from the home. We see this especially with adolescents. They may be reluctant to change clothes for gym activities, attempting to hide injuries or bruises. So how do you tell the difference between discipline, which is normal, and abuse? It's important that there be some distinguishing things between corporal punishment and abuse. Corporal punishment, such as spanking, may be used as a discipline technique by parents or guardians to teach appropriate behavior. Discipline is a learning process. The goal is to teach appropriate behavior. Abuse is not a learning process. The goal is to stop behavior by inflicting pain, and this is usually a result of anger and frustration. So, how do you tell the difference between abuse and accidental injury? Well, abuse and accidental injury can look similar, but there are important differences. Cuts and bruises caused from accidents normally occur in bony areas of the body, like the elbows and the knees. Accidental injuries to soft tissue areas, like the stomach and buttocks, are less likely. If an injury happens often, it's less likely to be an accident. If multiple injuries are present, especially if they're in different stages of healing, it's less likely to be an accident. If a series of injuries appear in a pattern or resemble an object like an electrical cord, wooden spoon, the injury may have been inflicted. If the child's caregiver's explanation for the injury is inconsistent with the facts, then the injury would be a suspect. Here's an example. Steve, a 10-year-old boy, arrived at school with bruises on his elbows and a large scrape on his knee. So you ask him, what happened? And Steve says, I got hurt when I was riding my bike and I hit a curb. I fell on the road. He says that his father gave him a spanking because his father had told him not to ride on the road. Steve's father stated the same exact thing when he picked Steve up from school, and Steve was glad to see his father. See, in this situation, abuse would not be suspected. Steve's injuries are consistent with his explanation. His father's explanation was the same, and the injuries are on the exposed bony areas, not soft areas of his body. Steve behaved normally with his father and had no bruises or injuries from the corporal punishment, again indicating this was probably not abuse. Now, here's a second example. You notice that Susie, a 9-year-old, is trying to hide from the other girls in the locker room when she changes into her gym t-shirt. And you notice that she has bruises on her upper arms and on the soft areas and strap-shaped welts and bruises on her lower back in various stages of healing. When you question her about it, she says, "Well, I fell down the stairs." She's very afraid that you might ask her mother about it. See, now in this situation, you should suspect abuse. Susie's secrecy, her fear of her mother being called, the bruises on the upper arms and soft areas, the specific injury pattern, and the evidence of various stages of healing are all multiple indicators of possible abuse. We're not trying to get anybody in trouble that shouldn't be. We're just trying to help those who are being abused. Let's talk about sexual abuse. It's a complex type of abuse with significant implications for the child victim. Often there are no physical signs, and behavioral indicators can be subtle or attributed to other things. But sexual abuse is a devastating breach of trust for the child. The adult abuser usually tries to manipulate the child into silence. "This is our little secret," with real or implied threats. This type of manipulation is far beyond the child's ability to understand, and this is emotionally confusing for the child and will often create a wide range of emotional responses. Sexual abuse can be defined as any illegal sexual act upon a child. This includes incest, rape, indecent exposure, fondling, child prostitution, child pornography. All of these would be wrong and illegal in the sexual abuse arena. Indicators of child sexual abuse include expressions of age-inappropriate knowledge of sex and sex behaviors, sexually explicit drawings or highly sexualized play, expressions of unexplained fear of a person or a place, avoiding or attempting to avoid a familiar adult, nightmares, sleep interruptions, withdrawal, guilt, "It's my fault." They may also indicate shame. They may have serious depression, or maybe depression in general, anxiety, mood swings, a child's statement that they're being abused. One of the strongest indicators of sexual abuse is a child's report. And when a child says that he or she has been sexually abused, take the statement serious. Resolve doubt in favor of the child and err on the side of protection. If it's not happening, justice will find that out. How do you respond to the abuse? Abusers often tell children that bad things will happen if they tell others about them. If it's a secret that is not to be shared. Because of this fear, children are much more likely to share information in an indirect way, hoping that you'll figure it out and figure out what they're trying to tell you. Indirect disclosure might sound like this: "My babysitter keeps bothering me." Disguised disclosure might sound like this: "What would happen if a girl was being touched in a bad way and she told someone about it?" Disclosure with strings might be something like, "I have a problem, but if I tell you about it, you have to promise not to tell." If a child wants to tell you something, listen to them. Remain calm. Encourage the child to tell you what happened, but don't press them for details beyond that which the child is able or willing to provide. Don't promise you won't tell anyone else. Let the child know that you may need to tell a person that can help them. Remember, you're not responsible to prove that the abuse or neglect has occurred. You must only have a suspicion that a child is being abused or neglected. If you have reason to suspect abuse has occurred, then report the situation to a local child protective service office. And if you're a mandated reporter, you have a legal responsibility to do that report. In your situation, there may be a policy that governs who actually makes a report to Child Protective Services when an abuse is suspected. It is important that you know your reporting policies and procedures.
All very good information. Information that we can take and immediately put to use on our first day back to work. Many signs and symptoms that will point to child abuse or neglect. I hope that you wrote some of that information down. If not, you can go back and play it over, take notes, and study it, because it's true to the core. A child who's been abused, a child who is being neglected, is identifiable. While we are responding to calls on patrol, while we are out in the midst of the public, there are things that we can be looking for when dealing with children, teenagers, or toddlers, even infants. Don't just overlook something. Don't just pass it over and go, well, nah, that can't be. Oh, I know them over there. They're good people. Don't let that facade, that they're good, upstanding citizens, good church-going people, good neighbors, don't let that stand in the way. Don't let that cloud your judgment. Don't let that close your eyes to the truth, to the fact of what really may be happening in their home, what may really be happening at their school, at their church, at their relative's house. We need to be looking with our eyes wide open, recognizing, reacting, and responding appropriately within our duties. The information just given to you, outlined in pretty detailed information about the different types of abuses, the signs that you can be looking for, the symptoms. And if you're not sure, it's better to report it. It's better to contact law enforcement and get them involved immediately. Well, I'll just wait and see what happens. I'll just wait. They're always coming in here. I'll just wait till the next time. And maybe I was wrong. I'll just see if there's any other injuries next time she comes in. Next time that Johnny comes in, I'll take a closer look then. That might be too late. That might not be soon enough. If they are in serious danger a day or a week or a month from now, it's going to be too late. Too late. At the very least, they will have suffered other abuse, other neglect, something that you could have stopped right then and there and not waited for a day, a week, or a month. We need to recognize it, and then we need to react and respond to it immediately. No hesitation, no doubt, no second guessing, no waiting for the next time. Now, today is the day. When people begin to try to explain the burns, the bites, the bruises, the broken bones, the black eyes, the constant outward appearance, injuries to their children, that should raise a flag. That should be suspicious enough to you to make the call. When a child is not wanting to go with that adult, that parent, that caregiver, that's an immediate red flag. If a child is frequently absent from school, if they beg or steal food or money. If it looks like they haven't had a bath in 3 or 4 days, all these are signs of neglect, abuse. We need to be taking action now, sooner than later. Let's not wait until it's too late. Let's not, I'll just give it another day or two. I'll tell someone if I'm sure. We need to be sure now. Better safe than sorry. Better safe than sorry. Who do we call? Do we call a child advocacy? Do we call a child at risk line? Do we call child protection? No. We call 911. We call to get the police involved. We call for medical providers if the child is really injured and needs medical attention immediately. We don't wait to make a secondary report to the child services department. We don't wait to leave an anonymous tip on some 800 number or some website. God knows where it's located. We just hope and pray that somebody's going to read it. Somebody's going to hear the message. We don't do that. We're first responders. We're emergency workers. We're public safety officials. We're security and safety officers. We have to intervene now, not later, not secretly, not anonymously. We got to do it now. It's part of our duties, our jobs, our obligations, our moral and ethical duties. And some of us who have special law enforcement, police powers, authority, that makes us a reporting officer. That makes us a reporting person. So we're required by law to call it in now. Now. Once we recognize the possibility, once we recognize some symptoms, once we recognize some abuse signs, some factors that point to neglect, we have to do it now. Not later. Recognizing, reacting, and responding immediately to child abuse and neglect is the key to intervention, to prevention. It's up to us. We can make a difference. Many security officers are getting ready to go back to school, getting ready to go back to work in the school systems all across this country and around the world, getting back to go back to the schools to patrol, to be school security personnel, public safety officers. Now is the time to really learn this information, to learn the telltale signs, to know what to be looking for, so that when you're out there and you see something, you'll recognize it immediately and be able to respond to it appropriately. It's up to us. Remember, 3 million of us, 1 million law enforcement, 3 times more private security than there is public law enforcement in the U.S. What does that mean? We can be the eyes and the ears and the hands. We can make a significant difference in child abuse today. Not next week, not next month, not next year. Now, today, this moment, this hour, we have now the information, the training, the knowledge. We at least know what it is that we should be looking for. We can now recognize the difference between child abuse and just child injury from falling off a bike. We can know the difference between just standard discipline and child abuse. If you're patrolling and you see a mother punching her child in the face, that's not discipline. If you see a parent or a guardian, an adult, who has got a child on the ground and slapping it, kicking it, punching it, that's not discipline. Immediately take action. That's an assault. That's an arrestable offense. You need to intervene. get some backup, take the person into custody, and charge that person accordingly with domestic violence. Then have law enforcement call Child Protective Services, have them come out and do a secondary investigation and see if the child needs to be removed from the custody of the parents or the guardian. That's when we get them involved. We have information now. We have some training, some knowledge. We know what to be looking for. So now we know how to recognize it. Do you know how to react? Do you know what to do if you suspect it? If you're sure of it, do you know how to respond accordingly? I encourage you, because this is such an important, important topic, I encourage you to gather as much information as possible. Seek out some more training. Go to the web. Look up some more information. Look at some pictures of child abuse. Maybe you've been a victim yourself. Maybe you don't have to look. Maybe you know firsthand what it looks like, what it feels like, how a person who's been neglected or been abused acts. Maybe you have a relative who's been in that situation, so you know firsthand. But if you don't, I highly recommend that you go out and seek further information, because this is a very important subject, a very important topic. It's a crime that's preventable. It's a crime that we can intercede in, that we can recognize, that we can react to. And this is a type of training that doesn't take any money to go to class. It doesn't take any funding for us to learn. We've learned it. We can go back to the internet. We can learn it a little bit more. We can research it a little further. But use good common sense when you're out there. Good common sense will tell you whether or not there's a problem, whether or not this is an assault or a child being disciplined by their parent or guardian, whether or not this is abuse, negligence, neglect, or just a child that won't listen, won't mind. Even if there is a child that refuses to listen to the parent, a child who is not being obedient, that doesn't give the person, the parent, the right to commit an assault. There are other ways to discipline the child. If you are on duty and you come upon this situation, you're called to an apartment because of a disturbance, because of a beating, because of something getting out of hand, and you get there, quickly assess the situation. Quickly look at what's going on. If you recognize that the child's been injured, has marks from previous injuries, black and blues, semi-healed injuries, contact law enforcement. Get them rolling out to your location. Get them on the way to the scene, because more than likely, you've got an arrestable offense. More than likely, you've got a felony in progress, and you need to take immediate action. Immediate. If it's not safe for you to do it alone, the action you should be taking is contacting backup, contacting law enforcement, and getting them the information, letting them get involved immediately. Let them know the seriousness when they get on scene that you've got some injuries to a child. EMS should be called and should stage as a secondary. This is serious business. Don't take it lightly. You can also use this training and this information to recognize elder abuse. It's the same way. Elder abuse, older folks being injured by their own relatives, caretakers, they act and respond the same way as children do to abuse and neglect. They have bruising in different stage of healing. They have broken bones frequently. Sometimes they are shut in. and they can't look you in the face. They look away. They don't want you to talk to them. Those are signs of abuse. When we are out and about, when we are on the job, remember the signs, the telltale signs of what to be looking for. While we are on duty, especially in a patrol capacity, there may be times, even at an apartment complex, where we come upon a situation where we find that a child is being neglected because there's not enough food in the house, because there may be no furniture in the apartment, no heat. I've come upon that situation numerous times, especially in apartment complexes of low income. We're on patrol. It's the middle of the winter. We get called to an apartment for a disturbance or some other situation, and we find the apartment has little furniture, no beds, no heat because electricity's been cut off. Is that child neglect? Yes, it is. It may be to no fault of the parent, but nonetheless, it is a neglect situation and a situation where law enforcement and protective services must be involved. If the adult cannot find proper shelter for the children where they are safe and warm and fed, then it's time for someone else to step in. It's time for the authorities to get involved and see if they can't render aid in some form, fashion, or shape. And it's our job, if we come upon this, to notify them and get them involved ASAP immediately. Even though we feel bad for the parent, even though we're sorry, even though we see the situation and we see how disheartening it is, we have to consider the child who cannot help themselves. We have to be their voice. We have to be their protector. We have to be their provider in this situation. Notify the appropriate authorities and get them involved. There is so much responsibility in our positions. And every day, every week, and every year, it just seems to increase as we continue to have more duties and responsibilities and see ourselves in much more increased capacity than ever before. It's up to us to know what it is that we're supposed to be doing. It's up to us to know the right thing from the wrong thing. It's up to us to know how to handle these situations. Remember, there are mandatory reporting in every state. If you are a social worker, a teacher, or a school personnel, physician, or a healthcare worker or provider, mental health professional, medical examiner or coroners, law enforcement, and that includes security with police authority, child care providers, film developers, and others, depending on your state statutes. I hope that you've enjoyed part two, the wrap-up, the conclusion of child neglect abuse, recognizing, reacting, and responding. Be sure to join us tomorrow when we are going to be on the conference call going over the officer down response team. You will not want to miss that. And we are looking forward to having many, many people on that call as well. We'll see you back here on the radio next Monday night. Till then, be safe, God bless, and we'll see you back on the radio.
think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. And a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place. For you and for me and these two human race. There are people dying. If you care enough to listen, make a better place for you and for me. Cannot lie. Love is strong. It only cares for joyful giving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. There are dreams. Stop existing and start living. And it feels that always love's enough, always growing.